We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight. Has anyone got a favourite hymn you'd like to sing? Just shout out the number, please. 170. 170 in your hymn book. 170 in your hymn book. 170. 170 on the page 246. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. We'll just sing the first two verses along with the chorus, remaining seated while we sing. 170 verses 1 and 2 along with the chorus. Favorite. 481 in your hymn book. 481 in your hymn book. 481 on the page 370. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. We'll sing the first and the last verse. Verses 1 and 4 of 481, keeping our seats while we sing. Sorry? 359. 359. 359. 359 in your hymn book. 359. Once I thought I'd walked with Jesus, yet such changeful moods I had, sometimes trusting, sometimes doubting, sometimes joyful, sometimes have. This is a new one to me. Hands up who knows this one. There's a few. And here. Well, we'll give it a try. We'll see how we get on. Let me see the first and the second verse. I'll be relying on you to keep me in tune. 351. We'll keep our seats, and if we don't, we'll pick another one. Bad and not at all. We'll maybe give it a go another time. We'll just turn now to our opening hymn tonight, to hymn number 330. It's always good to learn a new song and a new hymn. 330 is a well-known one. Since Christ my soul from sin set free, this world has been a heaven to me. We'll stand as we sing this time, 330, singing it out with all of our hearts. And as we sing,
yeah.
we just look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's blessing upon our meeting tonight. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence and thy mercy that finds us here in the house of the Lord tonight. We thank thee for these old hymns that we've been singing, how, Lord, they thrill our hearts, how they bless our souls. We thank you for the peace and the joy that we have as Christians in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Redeemer. And Father, we thank you that that peace was won for us at the cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died and cried out upon the cross, "It is finished." We thank thee, O Lord, that the burden of our sin has been dealt with and has been rolled away by the crosswork of Christ, our dear Redeemer. And O God, our Father, as we come before thee tonight, we just pray for the blessing of the Lord to be upon our coming together. We realize, Lord, that it is thy presence that makes the feast. And we pray for a very gracious, conscious sense of the nearness of the Lord tonight, we pray. We thank thee for all who have been able to gather with us this evening, every household and family, O God, that is represented, meet the need of every heart, meet the need of every life. And Lord, bless thy people, strengthen thy people, lead thy people on with thyself into a closer walk and relationship, Lord, with thee. And Lord, may we go home tonight blessed and revived and led on with God and drawn into a closer walk and relationship, Lord, with thyself. Lord, do forgive us for our sins. We pray for that fresh cleansing in the Saviour's precious blood. And Father, we pray for that outpouring of thy Spirit upon us. Bless us, speak to our hearts tonight through thy word. Give us grace not only to hear thy word, but to obey and to live out thy word in our lives. And Lord, bless us also in our time of prayer, how we need thee. And Lord, you have promised to pour upon thy people the spirit of prayer and grace and supplication. And Lord, may that be our portion tonight. Lord, teach us to pray. Lead us out in true believing prayer. And Lord, lay upon our very hearts those things that thou would have us to pray for as the people of God. Bless all who have gathered. Bless every family represented, O Lord. Unite our family circles in the Lord, O God, we pray. And for those unable to join with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity, Lord, bless them and minister to them by the grace and by the power of God divine. And Father, we pray that thou wilt meet their needs. Remember others who mourn and grieve, have suffered bereavement in recent times, Lord. Do comfort their hearts. Be unto them all that they would need and all, O God, that they would require. Again, Lord, we thank thee for thy blessings to us here last Lord's Day, morning and evening, and for all whom thou didst bring in under the sound of thy word, and especially for those that were in unsaved. Speak unto them, and Father, bless them and save them by the grace and power of God divine. Bless our land tonight, O God, wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. May the blessing of God be upon it. We pray for gospel missions, especially at this time. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art the God who saves, and that thou hast promised, Lord, to save souls through the foolishness of preaching. And Father, we pray that as thy word is preached and as the gospel net is cast out across our land even tonight, that there'll be those who will come and trust the Lord for salvation. Abide with us now, we pray. Do our hearts much good. Glorify the Saviour's name. And all that will be said and done among us this night, for it is for Jesus' sake and glory we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the Old Testament book of the Psalms, to the Psalm number 19. I want to read a few verses with you from that chapter. And then turning over to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Beginning a reading at the verse 6. And I want to read a few verses with you from that chapter as well. So if you'd like to mark those two portions, Psalm 19, beginning a reading at the verse 7. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Beginning our reading at the verse 6, and while you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see everyone gathered this evening. We pray the Lord will richly bless you around God's word, around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember, please, the services here on the Lord's Day, the Sunday School and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. God willing, we'll be long to bring God's Word, both services preceded by the half of prayer, and then immediately after the morning meeting will be the Lord's table. So pray for these meetings and pray for God's blessing upon them, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. Psalm number 19, beginning a reading at the verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And then turning, please, over to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, breaking into the chapter at the verse number 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 8, and may God bless these readings of his holy and eternal word to all our hearts. Now, last Tuesday evening, as we commence to look at this third chapter of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, we noted Paul's concern for the Thessalonian believers. And his concern was that despite all the opposition that they were facing as Christians, that they would continue to stand for the Lord, that they would be established more and more in the ways of God. And to encourage this in their hearts and life, he sent Timothy to minister God's word among them. And you see reference made that we looked at that last week, verse 2. It says, and sent Timotheus, that's just another name for Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Well, in our reading here from the chapter this evening, we see how Timothy returns to Paul, who was at Corinth. He returns from this visit at the Thessalonian church, and in doing so, we see how he brings a very favorable report concerning the Thessalonian believers. And you see reference being made to that in verse 6 of the chapter, where Paul says, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. And you see there from that report that Timothy, he spoke well about their faith. He spoke well about their charity. In other words, their Christian concern one for the other. And he also tells how they had a strong desire for fellowship with Paul and his fellow laborers. And this was a good report. It was an encouraging report, and it really done Paul good. It encouraged his own heart and caused him really to see that his own labor amongst them had not been in vain. And notice what Paul goes on to say in light of this report. In verse 8 of the chapter, he says, for now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. In other words, it was an encouragement. It was, if you like, a spur on in the life of the Apostle Paul, going laboring for the Lord, that his labor was not in vain amongst these Thessalonian believers. He says, now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. But people, the thing for us to note here, that in Timothy's visit among them to establish them more and more in the ways of God, in that visit, he ministered the word of God among them. Verse 2 says, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister and fellow laborer, notice it, in the gospel of Christ. He visited them, yes, but it just wasn't an acquaintance visit whereby he spoke to them and renewed fellowship with them. He ministered the word of God among them, and this in turn helped them and blessed the Thessalonian Christians in the ways of God to establish them and strengthen them more and more in the things of God. And people, that really highlights to you and I the importance of the Bible, the word of God in the life of God's people, and in the life of the Church of Christ. You see, we're made to see from the Scriptures that believers, yes, they are comforted and they are established in their faith through the Word of God. Romans 15 verse 14 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And the Scriptures give hope to the believer. They give comfort. They give edification. They have a strengthening effect upon the faith of the believer. Indeed, it was John Flavel, the Puritan preacher, who said that the Scriptures teach us the best way of living, the noblest way of suffering, and the most comfortable way of dying. How important then the Word of God is for the Christian and for the Church of Christ. And people, if we, yes, are to grow in our faith, if we are to stand strong in the face of opposition and indeed increasing persecution from the world against the Christian and the things of God, then God's Word must have a prominent place in our lives and in our hearts as believers and as a church. And people, that is why the pulpit is central in our building, because it re-emphasizes a great point that was made known and proclaimed, especially in the days of the Reformation, that the preaching of the Word of God is to be central in all worship and all the activities, the normal Lord's Day services in God's house. And how the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word must never be set aside. Paul said to Timothy, preach the Word in season and out of season. The Word of God is vital. For that reason, then, I want us just to consider briefly tonight just something about the importance of the Bible. And we're maybe digressing a wee bit just from the context of the passage tonight, but I believe it's important here in light of this verse before us and these verses that we just consider briefly the importance of the Bible. Why is the Bible important? Well, we can say tonight that the Bible is important because of its character. You think about the character of the Scriptures. What can we say about the character of the Scriptures? Well, its character is inspired. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that word inspired literally means God breathed. And it shows to you and I that God is the author of the Scriptures. By the Holy Spirit, God, He guided holy men of God to write the Scriptures for us. Turn over there to 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 21. And you'll see that for yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse number 21. Peter says, therefore, the prophecy, and he's talking here about the Word of God, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And there you see that man is not the author of the Scriptures. It is God by the Holy Spirit causing holy men of God of old to write the Scriptures. If you think back to a few weeks ago, during the coronation of our King, King Charles III, a copy of the Scriptures was presented to him. And in that presentation to him on his coronation, it was said to him, "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." And that is true. People tonight, in our hand, you and I, we possess the living word of the living God of heaven. Yes, here we have the word of him who is King of kings, who is Lord of lords. And there's no book in all of the earth and all of the libraries of the world together. There's no book to compare with the Bible, with the Scriptures. You think of the little children's course. We often loved to sing and used to sing. I remember singing it in Sunday school about the Bible. "I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure, and so we'll travel together, my Bible and I." My, that was sound teaching there in that little course. We have a wonderful treasure in the Scriptures. Its character, yes, is inspired. We can say also tonight that its character is true. And there are no mistakes in the Bible. There are no flaws in the Scriptures. We read there from Psalm 19, verse 8. And what did the psalmist say there about the Word of God? He says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Think of the words of Christ in his high priestly prayer in John 17 to his heavenly Father. He said, "Thy word is truth." There is no guesswork in the Bible. There's no fiction in the Bible. Despite the mockery and the scorn of the world, believer, always remember that as you read the Bible, you read what is true. There is no fake news in the Bible. Indeed, the best English version for us to read and to study is the Authorized King James Version of Scriptures. God's Word's inspired. God's Word is true. We can say further tonight, in its character, God's Word is unchanging. It does not change. You think of the words of Christ in Matthew 24, verse 35. He says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." The psalmist says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Yes, the opinions and the writings of men will change. Even the very best of men, their opinions and writings will change. But God's word changes not. And that is vital, people, because it really means to us that God's word is always relevant. God's word is always up to date for our circumstances and our situations in life that we find ourselves in. That really means that you and I can depend upon God's word for every circumstance, every situation of our lives. Also, you and I can depend upon God's word for our eternal well-being. Indeed, every prophecy in the Scriptures will come to pass. For God's word is unchanging, and the purposes of His word, they change not. Yes, the character of the Scripture means that you and I as believers must always have a high view of Scriptures. Yes, there may be things we cannot understand. That shows our sinful, finite minds. But we must always bow to the Scriptures, and we must always hold a high view of the Word of God. Yes, we see the Bible is important because of its character. But secondly, tonight we can say further that the Bible is important because of its use. You see, God's Word is spiritual food for the believer. Think of the words of Christ in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And it's by us believing God's Word, obeying God's Word, when we read it and study it and hear it preached, that you and I will grow and advance in our faith. Remember the words of Peter? He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. As milk causes a newborn babe to grow, so the milk of God's word and the meat of God's word causes us to grow in our faith. God's words are spiritual food. We can say further that God's word is also the believer's as guide in life. And the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And just as you and I would depend upon a road map or a sat nav to guide us on a car journey to somewhere we've never been before, you and I can depend upon God's word to guide us aright along the journey of life to heaven itself. Turn over there to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. And look at what the wise man Solomon says to us about the word of God being our guide and the importance of it being our guide. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 23 of the chapter. He says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. He's speaking here about the word of God. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. In other words, keep them before you. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God has given you and I the Bible for our spiritual food. He's given you and I the Bible to be our guide in life. We can say further, God's word is the believer's defense. The Christian's defense, yes, against sin, against error, against Satan. Think of the time whenever Christ was tempted on three occasions by Satan in the wilderness. How did he overcome the temptation of Satan? He rebuked the devil by quoting the very word of God to Satan himself. Turn over there to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and look at the three occasions that Christ here uses the word of God to rebut and to refute Satan's temptation. Look at verses 3 and 4 there of Matthew chapter 4. It says, and when the tempter came to him, that's Satan, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And the temptation was there that Christ would obey Satan. That could never happen. But look at how Christ refutes him. In verse 4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He used the word of God to rebuke Satan. Verses 6 and 7. Again it says of Satan, and he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And again Christ refuted him in the very next verse by saying, it is written, quoting the word of God, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And my, the Lord wasn't going to allow himself to be tempted by the devil. And then in verses 9 and 10 again, Satan makes him this wonderful promise. He says of the kingdoms of this world, he says, all these will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me. And then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And there you see how Christ used the word of God as a defense against the temptations of the evil one. Likewise, Christian, it is by you and I believing God's word, obeying God's word, that we also can be victorious over this as Christians. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, taking up, he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and it's by that we can quench the fiery darts, he says, of the wicked one against us. Child of God, God has given you the Bible for your defense, for your guide, and for your spiritual food. But also God's word has been given to the believer so that the believer can spread the gospel and see God's kingdom advanced. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God has promised to use His Word to save souls, to extend His kingdom. Turn over there to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And encourage you, believer, to mark this verse in your Bible. It shows you the importance of the Word of God and evangelism, and seeing God's kingdom extended. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Look at what Peter says. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, notice it, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And it's through God's blessing upon His Word, His holy Word, that souls are saved, that the kingdom of God is extended and advanced and built up and increased. It was Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, who said that the world is conquered by the Word. And by the Word, the church is served and rebuilt. Yes, as a church, it is our duty to do all we can to spread God's Word both near and far. That's our responsibility. And in doing so, let us earnestly pray that God would bless His own Word to the salvation of souls and the extension of His kingdom. For God has promised that My Word shall not return unto Me void. We'll turn again just to our hymn book before we get down to prayer, to the hymn number 188. 188 is a great hymn, reminding us about the great blessing of the Word of God. A wonderful, wonderful Word of the Lord. Through wisdom its pages unfold, and though we may read them 1,000 times o'er, they never, no, never grow old. 188 will stand as we sing.
Oh,
seated. Well, we just get down to our time of prayer. Do please pray for the services and the Lord's Day, the Children's Day coming up. Remember also the Children's Bible Clubs over the summer. Pray for the outreach. Remember the convention meetings as well. Another month, 2 months, whatever, they'll be here. So let us be much in prayer for the Word of God and all these endeavors. Please remember the sick and the elderly in your prayers, that they'll know the Lord's touch. Brother John's brother Ian is ill in hospital in Spain, so do remember him in your prayers at this time. Do remember also our missionaries as well. Maybe you could remember the Boyle family labor in Mexico City, and Let the Bible Speak work in Jamaica as well, a little mission station there. The Reverend Power as well is over in Tavistock for the month of June. So do remember him in your prayers there, and remember our land. The Lord would have mercy upon it and turn the tide. And even over the summer season, where God's word is spread far and near, that God would bless it and use it to extend his kingdom and to build his church. We'll get down to prayer, encourage as many as possible to pray, to take part, men and women, as the Lord would lead us tonight in our time of prayer. Maybe ask our brother, Mr. Ian Moore, to lead us off in prayer, and then maybe also our brother, Mr. Geoffrey Scott, and then one after the other, as the Lord would lead in the time remaining. Please, thank you.